Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. This is your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned. These 30 minutes could be, I say they could be, the most important 30 minutes of your entire life, because this show is about accurate information, not useless speculation. So motivation, inspiration, and education are the format, and we're simply here to give you the opportunity to verify and identify God's plan for your life. If you choose to seize that, then you have the privacy to do so, and you can orient and adjust to that plan. It's up to you. We all have to make some serious decisions in our life. And the most important decision that any person could ever make is to answer a simple question, and that question is, what think ye of Christ? Is Jesus Christ the anointed Son of God, or is he not? And this has been a question that's been asked for thousands and thousands of years. God the Father testified in the canon of Scripture on two occasions, verbally out loud, this is my anointed Son, he said, and then he said, in whom I'm well pleased. And Paul the Apostle, upon being freed from the Roman jail, told the Roman jailer, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy whole household. And he was being delivered from a Roman prison. The Roman jailer thought perhaps he would be killed, and Paul said, no, if you'll believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be spared, and your whole household will be spared. You know what? It's an interesting thing. But a lot of people struggle with the truth and struggle with knowing the truth, and especially when it comes to spiritual truth, and we get into errors in a lot of different areas. So I want to talk to you today about these 10 problem-solving devices that our show is formatted on. And I want you to understand that these are the most important problem-solving devices you could ever learn. Great wisdom comes from the Word of God, and because it gives you the opportunity to see every decision that you have to make in light of spiritual values, because we do make thousands of decisions every day. And if you never learn anything else from this radio show, learn this. Bad decisions limit future options. I'll say it again. Bad decisions limit future options. And the worst decision that any person could ever make is the decision not to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. In order to do that, you have to understand some things. And we start off with understanding ourselves. Understanding is a key word on this radio show because there is no AI here, artificial intelligence. That artificial intelligence is a combination of arrogance and ignorance. Arrogance and ignorance will make you think you're something that you're not, and you'll look into the mirror of arrogance and you'll actually like what you see. But when you look into the mirror of the Word of God, then you begin to see what you really are. In Psalm 19, verse 12, the psalmist wrote, who can understand his errors? And then he wrote, cleanse me from my secret faults, and keep back your servant also from any presumptuous sins, and do not let them have dominion over me. And then I will be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. One of the most presumptuous sins that we can commit is the sin of arrogance. Maybe no one's ever told you that arrogance is a sin, but definitely it is a horrible sin. When I first became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, no one told me about arrogance. They told me that I shouldn't drink, and I shouldn't smoke, and I shouldn't cuss, and I shouldn't do certain immoral things. And I thought that pretty well was the limit of what sin was. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't cuss, and don't run around with people that do it, and you'll be okay. But then I learned some things. And I learned that the areas of sin were much more extensive than I thought they were, because I learned about mental attitude sins, and then I learned about sins of the tongue, and then I learned about overt or outward sins. Mental attitude sins can be identified in the Bible, such as worry or fear. These are usually stress-related sins that come from agitation or anger or guilt. And so these mental attitude sins can destroy a Christian. Mental attitude sins such as bitterness and vindictiveness can destroy a Christian. And I had to learn about these things, and then I had to learn about sins of the tongue. and learning how not to talk about other people, not to slander someone else by repeating a lie, and not to gossip about someone else by repeating the truth. And I had to learn from Matthew 7 that the biggest jam I could get myself in was to stick my nose into someone else's business. And then I learned about the overt sins, most of which I was well aware of. I knew about those from my past life before I accepted Christ as my Savior. And so this was what I was told before I got saved. This is how you have fun. You do these overt things. These are the things that lost people do. They didn't say Christians. They didn't say lost. They just said, this is what you do. You go to the beach. You get drunk. You chase girls. You do this. You do that. And this is having fun. The only problem was a lot of those kicks had kickbacks, and nobody ever told you that. And so you'll see these commercials on television today, and they will tell young people that they need to come to Cozumel, or they need to go to this place or that place, and on spring break, let your hair down, have a great time. But they don't tell you the end results of not listening to the mandates of God, because when God says, if you sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind, and he wasn't kidding about that. So understanding yourself and understanding your arrogance is the biggest eye-opening event that I ever had in my life, because I began to see that arrogant people, including myself, always justify what they think is right. Self-justification is the biggest deceiver, because once we justify this to ourselves, then we begin to think that everyone else is wrong, and this is total arrogance. On many occasions, I've been speaking in schools, talking to students, and I've had a student come up and try to straighten me out. And maybe I've been speaking in schools for 30 years now, and this kid comes up and he says, you know, you're all wrong, you got it all mixed up, this is what you need to be teaching. And I'm thinking to myself, well, aren't you something? You think you know it all, and you're, what, 17, 16? And then I think to myself, if you're the one that's got it all right, then why does God have you up here teaching? Why does God have me teaching and not you? Of course, I don't tell him that. That would be an embarrassment. But arrogant people, it seems like they always want to straighten someone out. Arrogant people always want to show other people the errors of their ways. And so you have to understand what arrogance can do to you in your life. So keep me from my presumptuous sins is a good way of saying, let me learn about arrogance so it doesn't have dominion over me. This is the number one sin that Satan committed also, was the sin of arrogance, thinking he knew he wasn't God, and he knew he couldn't be God, but he wanted to be like God because he admired himself. And you see, arrogance always gives you this unrealistic self-image. And once you get an unrealistic self-image, then you have unrealistic expectations, wanting people to treat you in a way that you're not worthy of being treated. Arrogance is a horrible sin. And so we have to understand who we are before we can understand who God is and what God has for us. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 7, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding." That's my prayer for you if you are listening to this radio show, that you will consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding. Understanding is a beautiful thing. In Psalm 119, verse 130, the Bible says, "The entrance of your word gives light, and it gives understanding to the naive, to the gullible." And if there ever was a community of naive and gullible people, it's the Christian community. I have never seen a bigger group of suckers in my life when it comes to buying and purchasing and falling into this stuff of commercializing Christianity. And it's just amazing to me. You know, it's amazing. I know God doesn't get his share when these guys sell all these books and sell all these records. It's a business. The one thing that I learned a long time ago, that if God's in it, God'll pay for it, so you don't have to sell anything. If you've got it and you've written it, give it away. If people want it, let them have it free. And so God didn't send me to sell anything. That's why you'll never hear on this radio show any appeals for money. In Proverbs 18:2, going along with what I told you earlier, a fool does not delight in understanding, but only in giving his own opinion. And so the arrogant person is the fool here, who thinks that he knows what's best and God doesn't. And you can ask someone about, did you want to see an arrogant person? Ask them who Jesus Christ is. And they may give you their own opinion. They may go into this eloquent speech about, well, he was a good man, but he wasn't really the Son of God. And you can write it down, this is an idiot. Because he thinks in his mind that he knows a better deal. He thinks that he's smarter than God. And he thinks he's figured it all out. And it's really pitiful to meet people like this. On occasion, I meet somebody that calls himself an atheist. And, you know, it takes as much faith to be an atheist as it does to be a Christian. Did you know that? You are an atheist by faith, and you're a Christian by faith. The Christian, by faith, believes in the finished work of Christ on the cross. He believes that Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God, died for him, and he accepts Christ as his Savior. Well, the atheist believes that God doesn't exist, and he believes that whoever told him God doesn't exist, whatever scientist that says there's no God in the universe, that he's the smartest person he's ever seen, so he puts his faith in that person. But let me show you how ridiculous it is to be an atheist. We've just sent up a Mars rover that's digging around on Mars. Wouldn't it be interesting if God showed up in front of the rover? But the scientists will say God's not on Mars. I know. Well, what about the moon? Was God on the moon? Well, no, God wasn't on the moon. Nobody's seen God on the moon. And nobody's seen God on Earth, the scientists will tell you. Nobody's seen God on Mars. And so you say to the scientist, well, what about Uranus? Maybe God's on Uranus. Or what about Neptune or Pluto? Maybe God's on one of those planets. You see, for a person to say there is no God, he's got to be God himself. And he's got to look everywhere in the universe at one time, because if he leaves out one tiny speck, one asteroid, if he fails to go to one planet in the vast universe and God is there, then he's wrong. So by faith, he does not believe there's a God. He can't prove it, but he believes it by faith. And isn't that exactly what the Christian does? By faith, he believes that Jesus Christ is the anointed Son of God. So this is why I say it takes as much faith to be a Christian as it does to be an atheist, or vice versa. It takes as much faith to be an atheist as it does to be a Christian. Now, this show teaches the 10 problem-solving devices. The FLOT line, that's the name of the show, FLOT. If it's your first time to listen, FLOT is a military acronym for the forward line of troops. And we believe that if you learn at least 10 tremendous problem-solving devices and deploy them in the forward compartments of your soul, then you can stop the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. It's much the same way that the military would deploy fighting units to keep the enemy from overrunning the command post. Well, we're going to use the Word of God to keep the outside pressure of adversity from overrunning the command post. And we're reviewing the 10 problem-solving devices. We've taught it now for the last 3 years on this radio show, and now we're kind of going back over it a little bit, because repetition is good. It's always good to have repetition. And sometimes people, I'm always amazed, people say, I heard that before. Well, you probably think you heard it the first time, but Scripture is layered. And I can teach John 3:16 one time, and then if I told myself I don't ever want to teach that again because I already taught it and I already know what's there. But if I go back and teach it a second time, I see stuff I didn't see the first time. And if I go back and teach it the third time, I see stuff I didn't see the second time. Scripture is layered, and the more you teach it, the deeper that you dig. And that's why repetition is important, because what you didn't pick up the first time, you pick up the second time. This is why when you have a professional athlete, they practice to get the mistakes out. And sometimes a football coach or the basketball coach makes them run the same drill over and over and over again. Repetition. This is why the military marches and has close order drills. Repetition. Because it teaches you to do things instinctively. And repetition from the Word of God will teach you to instinctively think divine viewpoint. We are now studying problem-solving device number 6. Problem-solving device number 6. We've already been through problem-solving device number 1. And if you missed it, you can certainly order the shows. We'd be glad to send them to you. You can listen to them live on my website. You can go to www.bigrick.org and click on schedule and then audio online. And you can hear all these radio shows. Or you could write to me and we'll send you the CDs, whatever you want to do. We have a book we've written about Christian problem solving. We'll be glad to send you that. And again, these are all free, no charge. But if you want to catch up, then I would invite you to do so and review this information. But the first problem-solving device we all have to learn is the problem-solving device called Rebound. And Rebound solves the problem of the sin that we commit every day. We sin every day. And we have been given a way to be cleansed from that sin. It's called 1 John 1:9, Rebound. This is the secret to the filling of the Holy Spirit. No believer can be filled with the Holy Spirit as long as there's unconfessed sin in his life. So when he rebounds, not only does he cease the quenching of the Spirit, and not only does he cease the grieving of the Spirit, but he is again resuming his spiritual life through the filling of the Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit is not some weird, abnormal second blessing you get later as a Christian. It occurs the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, along with the filling, the sealing, the indwelling, spiritual gifts given to you. There are several things the Holy Spirit does when you get saved. And when you sin, you grieve the Holy Spirit, you quench the Holy Spirit, but you don't lose him. You're sealed, you're indwelled by the Spirit until the day of redemption, but he's not controlling your life. And this is why the Bible says you feel like two different people sometimes. This is why the Bible says some days you're a jerk and some days you're okay. Because when your old sin nature takes control, the jerk comes out of you. But when the Holy Spirit's in control, then you're manifesting the personality traits of the Lord Jesus Christ, such as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, mercy. So this all takes place through rebound. When we sin, we quench the Spirit, we're no longer filled, we rebound, we use 1 John 1:9, we name our sin to God, and we're filled with the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit is the second problem-solving device. And it solves the problem of the genetically formed old sin nature. You have an old sin nature, and if you don't learn how to control it, it will destroy you. And when we believed in Jesus Christ, the control of the old sin nature was cut away so that we're to look upon the flesh as dead. And now we have a new operating power, and it's called God the Holy Spirit. And this sets up a dilemma. The Bible says it's a war. The flesh wars against the Spirit. And the Spirit wars against the flesh, and they're contrary to one another. It's a war. Now make no doubt about it, because there'll never be a day in your life as long as you remain in this physical body that your old sin nature won't be tempting you. But you can subdue the old sin nature under the filling of the Spirit. And if you walk under the filling of the Spirit, then you can perpetuate your Christian life and become a mature believer and not live in carnality. The third problem-solving device is a faith rest drill, tremendous problem-solving device. And we spent a lot of time explaining how the faith rest drill operates and what it is, claiming the Word of God as a shield of faith. Fourth problem-solving device was grace orientation. And we talked a lot about that, and then doctrinal orientation. And that's orienting or being motivated by the Word of God in your soul. That's why we're mandated to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Even the Lord Jesus himself said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The key word there is learn. And then he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so if you're going to understand something, you have to learn it. You can't understand it until you learn it. And to learn the Christian life, to learn how the Christian life operates, is a tremendous opportunity, because it gives you the what I call problem solving device number 6, the personal sense of destiny. By the way, I want to make this very clear. My pastor first taught these principles years ago. He taught them from the pulpit of his church where he pastored for 53 years. And I listened and I learned. And what I'm teaching you today and have been teaching you, I learned these concepts and principles from my pastor, who God the Holy Spirit gave them to him. Now let's talk about personal sense of destiny. This is problem solving device number 6. And having a personal sense of destiny is an extension of the first 5 problem solving devices in your life. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 13. This is a personal sense of destiny. Listen to what Peter wrote. Nevertheless, we according to his promise of God, look for a new heaven and a new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. The key word there is looking. We're looking for a new heaven. We're looking for a new earth. We're looking for these things. You know, people talk about dreams today, and I hear this all the time. I'm nauseated over this stuff. You can follow your dreams, and if you follow your dreams, you're going to be happy. And I get so nauseated hearing people tout this as a motivation in life. You want to follow some dreams, the Bible says don't do it in Jeremiah 9. The Bible says following your dreams is the biggest illusion that ever came down the pipe. You can go to the bookstore and buy tons of books about how to achieve your dreams, how to live your dreams, how to become what you want to become. All this stuff is crazy. God has a plan for your life. And if you follow this plan, it is so much greater than any dream you could ever imagine. I mean, you could dream what you would want to be. But then, if you become what God wants you to be, it's perfect. It is the perfect plan of God. Here's what the Bible says. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, heart hath not felt the wonderful things that God has for those that love him. The Bible says if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. In your wildest imagination, if you had a dream, you could not dream up the happiness that God has for you. Now, happiness is not always found in the details of life. And if your dream consists of achieving the details of life, having a big home, having a big car, having a big boat, living on a big lake, running around with big shots, well, I got news for you. If you think that's going to make you happy, you're a world away from what the real truth is. Because having those kind of things just gives you the ability to be miserable in a different part of town. It doesn't buy happiness, doesn't create happiness. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, said, happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. And that's found in Luke 11, 27 and 28. Happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. You know why they're happy? Because they have a personal sense of destiny. A personal sense of destiny. They look and they wait for the fulfillment of God's promise. We wait and we look for God to do it. It's this personal sense of destiny. It's a wonderful life. We have to avoid now self-absorption. When we become self-absorbed, which is another way of talking about arrogance, then we become so involved with ourselves, so preoccupied with ourselves and our own destiny and our own dream and our own plan that we kick God's plan to the side. And I cannot tell you how many times that I have run into people who had communication gifts, who had great spiritual skills, but who walked away from it to pursue money, success, happiness. And then later in life, they'll come back and they'll say, you know, I think I should have gone to seminary, or I think I should have been a preacher. I think God called me at one time, but I didn't answer the call. I've heard that hundreds of times. I've heard people miserable at the end of their life, in the middle of their life, say, I've gone down the wrong road. I never should have done this. We've talked about it on the radio show here. It's called the My Way Highway. And even though God sometimes, as was in the life of Samson, you can read about it in the book of Judges, God had a phenomenal plan for the life of Samson, but he couldn't stay off of the My Way Highway. And on the My Way Highway, he self-destructed in his own arrogance. And this can happen to all of us. So if we begin to concentrate on ourselves, if we begin to go into the pursue the pleasures of life, and we ignore the plan of God and the things that God told us not to do, then it becomes dangerous, because when we sow to the wind, we reap the whirlwind. We begin to think human viewpoint, and we begin to be absorbed with worry. And all of this is nothing but self-absorption. But if we are mature believers, if we learn God's word, if we rebound, if we stay filled with the Spirit, if we use the faith rest drill, if we come to grace orientation and doctrinal orientation, then we can have that personal sense of destiny. And it's like a door. When you get there, it's an amazing thing. It's like for the first time in your life, the door opens up and you walk through and you leave your agenda behind and you move into God's agenda. And now, for the first time in your life, the monkey's off your back. Now you no longer have to sweat it. Now you're working for God Almighty Himself, and He is the greatest boss you could ever have. He's not going to treat you unfair. He's not going to lay you off too early. He's not going to take away your health care benefits. Hey, He loves you. I mean, you talk about having a phenomenal Heavenly Father that loves you and cares about you. He loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how much He loves you. He loves you so much He gave up His own Son for you. When you go through the door of the personal sense of destiny, and for the first time in your life, you put your complete self into the hand of God, you will never find such a rest. You will never find such a peace anywhere else. It's a tremendous thing. And I know that I have seen it in my life. I have run across other people in the ministry that are not at rest, that are working hard, trying to sustain their ministry, trying to sustain their life, selling t-shirts, selling tapes, selling CDs, selling this, selling that, raising money, having fun, raising dinners. Oh, that's so goofy. Because that's you paying for it. That's not God paying for it. That's you paying for it. And I'm so thankful that my pastor taught me a long time ago, if God's in it, God will pay for it. And the less you talk about money, the better off you're going to be if you're in the ministry. And I have learned that lesson well. And yet I see people that don't have this personal sense of destiny. They've never learned that lesson, and the monkey's still on their back, and they're still trying to pay for what they want to do, which may or may not even be God's plan for their life. Does God have a plan for your life? Yes. Does He have a directive plan for your life? Yes. Not only does He have something that He wants you to think, because the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, but He has something He wants you to do also. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, write a dividing word of truth. The Bible says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, He has something He wants you to do. He wants you to become a mature believer. He wants you to put priority number one on His Word in your life. So, does He have something He wants me to think? Yes. Does He have something that He wants me to do? Yes. Does He have someplace He wants me to go? Yes. Absolutely. And I can tell you this, one of the places that He wants you to go is face to face with a local pastor who teaches God's Word. Now, if you can't find one, you can always use tapes or DVDs, and these are things that I've done for years, keeping up with men that I admire and respect are great teachers. There is opportunity to grow, opportunity to learn, and face-to-face may be in person, or it may be on a DVD, but it's you taking in God's Word every day. And if you can find a local church where God's Word is taught and honored, and you can be a part of that, then you can contribute to the family of God in that community and the body of Christ in that community, and that body of Christ can represent Christ to that community. But you're not a representative of Christ. You are to represent Christ. It's a difference in words here. Representing Christ is you taking on His character assets through the filling of the Spirit, and it's you becoming Jesus Christ to those around you, so that when they see you, they see Christ. There's a lot more to say about this. Not much time left. So please join me next week. Until then, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or on the internet at www.bigrick.org.